Good afternoon, folks. This is Carolyn Evers. I am the host of The Messenger and The Message. We're on every other Saturday and, of course, every Sunday. And I am just delighted to be here and happy that you are there listening either live, where you can ask your questions, or in the archive. And in case we have some new listeners, which we are grateful that we have so many new people who are coming to BBS and listening to our wonderful hosts, because there is such a wonderful variety of really qualified hosts, and I think experts in their field. I want to give just a little background. One of the things that I do is I send a part of my mind to the center of the cosmos, and that is where the cherubim hold the universal Akashic records. There are records in other places in the cosmos, but in the center of the cosmos, all of the information has been added to a particular soul history. In other words, it is complete. It could be about information about events, could be information about Earth history. And it really is fascinating because what happens is the cherubim take all this information and they save it in a file, we might call it a file, that is a vibration. And there are times when Source, all there is, God, whatever word you use to describe the maker of all, there are times when Source will ask for a particular soul's record or information about some particular activities that are occurring. And when that happens, there is usually an emblem of some sort put upon these books of records. And it is very exciting indeed, to me at least, how the information that we gather as a soul ultimately finds its way to the understanding of all there is. And yes, God does know what is happening everywhere. However, in the records, there are reasons and choices and emotions and a certain amount of input that comes from the records in a very direct manner. So to me, this is a very exciting thought to think how this all works. And so in addition to reading the records, I work with a lot of the different masters and archangels. Some people call in because they want information from their record. Perhaps they want to know what their mission is, which is very important right now since this is the ending of a cycle. So many souls have come to participate in a specific aspect of what we call ascension. And some want to be able to see into the other side, which we learn to do that at the different conference calls that we hold with the masters, and they tell us a lot about who we are, our history, our past. Very exciting information comes from the different conference calls. I have some people who they want to touch or have some energetic exchange between them and their guardian angel or someone else, and if there is someone who has passed on the other side, I'll call in, usually Archangel Michael or Mother Mary, to get information about what that particular soul was doing on the other side now. And that has been some really interesting information also, because what all of this means is, see, we see such a small path of what we live in our daily lives, what we can see, what we can perceive here, but where we have been, what we have done over perhaps eons of years, the different planetary systems that we have moved through and the reasons that we have done this helps us to understand who we are as a soul. We've been called many times the roving reporters, and if you're here, you're probably one of those. We make our way through the cosmos, exploring, becoming very enthusiastic about creation, being a part of it. The light workers who came here, for instance, came with Archangel Michael. We saw how the Elohim and that soul that we know of as Jesus, how the souls from the Galactic Confederation were involved in this magnificent work that we call the cosmos here. They worked with God's plan. They worked with God's tree of life, bringing all of this forth. And so souls can grow and advance to that and be a part of all of this. And that is what I feel is so very exciting. So we do invite your calls in these particular areas, 877-876-5227. So if you read what we're going to be discussing today, there were two areas. One, I wanted to talk about some very fascinating information that is in Conversations with Caesar. It is a book that I'm offering during the month of June. People who do purchase that can receive free entry into some of the conferences that we hold, and that is an opportunity to experience something new in your spiritual life. But one of the reasons why I wanted to talk about Conversations with Caesar is because here is an individual that we know of his history while he was on Earth. Anybody who studies the Roman history has an opinion or understands some aspect of this individual's life. But when he crossed over, what he went through, the reasons that he did, and where he was, and how he finally evolved on the other side, is all in this book. It is his story in his words that he gave me, and I wrote down and put into book form, and I find it very exciting, and I think everyone who reads it feels excited about his journey, because it wasn't just his journey. It's a story of our journey. When he was on the other side and planning that particular lifetime, he had a mission. And what his mission was to bring in the Roman peace. Now, we know that that didn't happen. And we know ultimately that the one who succeeded him brought in the Roman peace, who we know of later as Augustus. But when he was planning this particular lifetime, he had a group of souls that he planned that with, and they had a very distinct objective, because you might not put this together if you read Roman history. He was to bring in the Roman peace because there was a teacher who was coming. And, of course, we know of that teacher as Jesus Christ. But the world then was a very cruel world in the sense that there was a lot of conflict. There was no peace anywhere. And that was his objective, to bring in the Roman peace, to make way for the peaceful entrance of Jesus. And, of course, you know, that really didn't happen as that particular plan evolved. And he was warned that if he came to Earth and pursued this particular mission, that it would be very difficult. And so there is a group of individuals on the other side. It's sort of like a review board. And when a soul steps in on a particular mission, there are pictures of opportunities that they can watch, and you've probably heard about this, but the review board discusses the different opportunities, and gives advice as to what may or may not happen if the soul takes on this mission. And he was told that this would be a very difficult mission. And when he came to Earth, it wasn't long before he was attacked by the dark forces. And in a sense, you might say that he completely lost his way. And so he brought with him certain gifts. He had been a champion of other souls in the past, protecting them in earlier lifetimes. He was a warrior. There needed to be a warrior at that particular point in time, and the concept was that when this warrior was needed to bring in the peace, and in that peace, everyone was to prosper according to trade, trading with other countries. Of course, Rome did some of that. So the whole story is basically what his objective was, how he failed. Here is a person who had a mission, who failed in his mission, and he explains how these subtle things happen to a soul that can lead one astray. And the telling of that story, I do believe, is a very rich experience in the sense that we can learn a lot about negotiating in the world that we are in now, how things so subtle can lead one astray. And so most of you know the Roman history of the time, but then the story, he discusses all of this in his lifetime, his relationship with his wife, his mother. And when he died, he expected to be taken to the world of his gods. He expected, they didn't use terms like going to the light, of course, but he expected that this would happen to him. And, of course, that did not happen. Give us a call. 877-876-5227. You might have a request from your records, or you might have some comments on this particular period of time or the life of this individual. As we said, he was taken astray. So he wakes up in what Christians would call purgatory, but he called it the Bardo. And he explains what the Bardo was like. And see, I find this very fascinating because we're given history of fire and brimstone, for instance. And the way he tells it, it was a place that he couldn't escape from. And not being able to escape from this place, it was a time of reflection. And it was very painful because he had this time where he went over every thought, every event, every deed. And it was his time to search what he had done wrong, where he could have made better choices. And as he saw the lost opportunities, this is the great tragedy of the soul that is on the other side, that is being introspective. It is like us, you know, in this lifetime, we look at things and we make mistakes, sometimes very serious mistakes, and they're full of pain for us as we think about them. But we also have the opportunity to make it right. On the other side, you really can't do that. It's like the deed is over. The time is over. It's like it is written in stone. The opportunity is lost. And so it causes great pain. There is, I think, so much interesting information about what the Bardo is like because he is there with his soldiers. These soldiers that he had led into battle, they are there. He is the commander, and they are there because of the mistakes that they had made. And so it was not only his pain of being there, but he carried the pain of those that he loved who were there with him. The interesting thing about this story is, as he is there, and I'm assuming that perhaps this would be true of other individuals who are either in purgatory or in this state before they can be taken into the light. There is learning. In other words, they're not abandoned. Masters come and visit them and allow them to ask questions. So as they're reviewing their life, they might want additional information about what some of the choices could be. And so they have the opportunity to ask ascended masters so that they can learn where their mistakes are. And Caesar goes into great lengths because he is very interested in science. You know, when he was that general in Rome, he did some very extraordinary things with building roads and aqueducts. And when you start to learn about how he was involved in this building program, you might say he was a man of the technology of the day. And so he had this insatiable curiosity to know and understand. And on the other side, he became interested in science, in sunspot activity, in where the Earth was going. And so he would ask these questions of the master, and he wanted to understand what was happening in Earth now. And he became very interested in the scientific aspects and also in the aspect of ascension. You might not think that someone would be interested in this, but you see, many of the Romans were more advanced in the esoteric sciences than what one might think. There was a group of them, and I don't mean the Romans in general, but those who you might say were on the forefront of moving things in their country. They did understand more about land energy, because you think of where they built their baths. They built their baths on ley lines that collected energy. It was the healing aspect of Minerva, and that is how they expressed many of their gods and goddesses, as different aspects, really, of either human nature or of nature in the world. And so the healing waters in these baths that came over the ley lines, they dedicated to Minerva. After all, they couldn't explain to people about the energy and the ley lines and so forth, but this was an attribute of Minerva. And so when the Roman soldier would bathe in these waters and in Bath, England, they thought it was their goddess Minerva who was healing them, but they were taking advantage of the energy that the water collected moving over the ley lines. Matter of fact, the cathedral, there's a cathedral right near the Roman baths that is one of those places where there is great energy that comes from the cosmos into the core of the Earth. And I was there, and I witnessed that. And on this trip that I went through England and France, it was just fascinating to see the different cathedrals where there was a breathing in of energy and a breathing out of energy. You could feel the energy coming in certain of the cathedrals, and then you would be in other cathedrals, and you would see the energy going up into the sky. It looked like we were at the cathedral at Salisbury, where that was one of the places where the energy left the earth, going back into the cosmos. And we happened to be there at night, very clear night, no manufacturing around, and you could see things in the night sky that I wouldn't have seen here, very clear. And we could see, it looked like a mist or a cloud coming out of the center of this cathedral at Salisbury. And so by going to the different cathedrals, and these different, they were built on sacred spots, we could see that there was an intake of energy and an exhalation, like human breathing, and how the earth was connected to the cosmos, and there was this circle or cycle of energy. And you see, the Romans experienced this. They didn't perhaps understand it as we might understand it, but they revered it as different images of the mother. So Caesar, being so interested in the sciences, he asked the masters about what was happening on Earth. And he was allowed to see the sunspot activity as it came from outer space, went through the sun and into the Earth. And he could see the changes that was being made. So if you're interested in Earth changes, what is behind some of the Earth changes, and how this energy from the cosmos is coming to the planet, and how it is changing the planet, you would be very interested in reading this book. I was very fascinated in taking these thoughts down. And that's just a small bit of what he explains, because there's so much about the other side that he talks about that I really feel is new information. I haven't read it anywhere else. And if it's the kind of information that excites you and you want to know more about, you'd really enjoy reading his story. After he tells his story, his wife tells a fascinating story. His mother, Augustus Caesar, comes in, and I thought I would fall off my chair at the end of the book when, lo and behold, who comes but Brutus, the one who is, we would consider, responsible for assassinating him. And he tells the story of how, even though he... his mother and father are, we have a call, and I'll stop my story and take this caller and your name, caller.
My name is Heather.
Hi, Heather.
Hi.
What can we do for you, Heather? Isn't this a fascinating story?
Yes, it is. I missed the last few minutes of it, unfortunately, but I do have a question for you relating, at least peripherally, to what you're talking about. My son committed suicide about 5 years ago.
You said your son did?
Yes, my son committed suicide.
Oh, that was a difficult burden for you to carry, I'm sure.
It's been incredible.
Yes.
But something that was very interesting to me is that I had been puzzling about all the different states and levels and Bardo and all that stuff that one
right.
goes through after death. And what he showed me is that a little piece of him it was like he was one column of light, and part of him was had gone to the very highest place, and it was like there were like a glass of water, and part of him was in a lot of these different levels, but he was the deepest, most spiritual part of him had connected directly with God, and some of his other states, you know, the teaching and the school and all that stuff that I've heard that suicides have to go through, wasn't necessary. And I was wondering about what your opinion or what you have heard about that kind of thing.
Well, I can tell you something of what I know about this, Heather, and then we'll see if we can get some deeper answers for you. The soul experience is much broader than what we think. In other words, the soul is so large that all of what the soul is cannot be contained in one physical. In other words, myself, Carolyn Evers, there is a part of that soul that is guiding me, and it is a part of me, but it's not the entire soul, because that soul is too big to be here working with this one physical body.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are other parts of my soul is on other levels, and it has entered other individuals. Caesar explained it like a tree, like the soul is a tree, and the tree branches off into branches. So you've got the main soul being the tree trunk and all of the many different branches, and he says it looks like a light. He can he explains it how he can view what looks like this tree, and where he sees a light, he can go and explore it, and there is a lifetime. So I do believe in that concept, Heather. How are you communicating with your son? Mental telepathy? You're picking up his thoughts? How are you communicating with him?
Well, I seem to be able to, it's like picking up a phone. I want to contact him. I've been able to do that for years with a lot of different beings, but it's like picking up the phone when I want to talk.
Isn't it beautiful? I have to chuckle at that because I took a book, Pope John Paul would say, dictation. He picks, and he used that same phrase. He says, I pick up a phone.
Oh, really?
I make a phone call home,
oh.
He says. Yes. You know, you really are gifted, Heather, because I think it's a very traumatic thing to have a child go to the other side, no matter how it happens. I think as parents, we expect to live longer than our children, and when one of the children that we have perishes, they go to the other side, it's just like it's against everything that we've ever been told or believed in. So it's a terrible shock, I think. But you've been gifted in this respect that you can communicate with your son, and you know that his spirit lives on and he has all of these experiences. And so from that point of view, Heather, it's quite remarkable. And you know what? I think more and more people are doing this, and it is a testament to the fact that we are all interrelated with one another, and whether we are here in this lifetime or on the other side, we are all related to one another. So you really have been gifted in that respect, though I know and understand the grief that you carry, because even though your son's on the other side, I'm sure this is something that all mothers hold in common. They want to be able to see their children married, to see them have grandchildren, to see that family come into their home and love them like they love their child. So, you know, that part doesn't happen, and I think the mother aspect of us grieves over that. You sound like you were very close to your son. Heather, you still there?
Carolyn, we had a lightning strike here, and I temporarily lost the connection. The phone went out.
Well, is it safe for you to be on the phone?
Yes, it is. Uh-huh. It wasn't right here at the house. It was at our, on the phone line farther down the road.
Oh, because I don't want you being on the line with a lightning strike.
You know, maybe I'll just listen online. And
okay. Heather?
Yes.
Is it still lightning now?
No, not at the moment.
Well, let's see if we can get some information. Now, if you hear lightning, I want you to hang up, okay?
Okay.
Okay, but if it's quiet around there and nothing going on, let's see if we can get an answer for you. I think your question is, if this is a fair assessment of what you wanted to know, when a soul comes to this lifetime, do they experience, do they have experiences in a lot of different dimensions other than this one? Is that a fair way of asking your question?
Yes, it's the experience after death that I was more focused on.
Okay, so after one dies.
Yeah.
You know, I really hate to use that word die, because we never really die, do we?
No.
After one transitions.
Right.
Is that soul on many different dimensions?
Yes,
other
it.
Than this one? So that's kind of what you want to know, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay, let me see where's the best place to go this, if we should go to the records or if one of the masters or archangels want to answer us on this. Well, it seems like we can go to two places. We can either go to the records or we could, I see Archangel Mikael with his sword there. How about if we ask him to come in and see what he has to say about this?
That would be wonderful.
Are you seeing him since you can see into the other side?
I see the sword.
That's what he was showing you. He does that a lot. When he comes, he shows the sword, and then he shows this armor. It's like a silver armor. Are you seeing any of that?
I'm seeing a shine. It's not in clear focus yet.
Okay, the shine. And right now he is showing a like a blue ray. Are you seeing his blue ray of energy?
Well, that surrounds me all the time, so it's...
Well, then you know what I'm talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, so it's very familiar, yes.
Maybe that's why he wanted to come, because you apparently are a friend of his, a light worker, and work with him. Is that correct?
Not consciously, but I certainly work with the Blue Ray.
He probably wants you to be more aware of him so that you can work with him more directly. Let's see what he says. He's going to answer the question first about when a soul transitions, the different dimensions that they would exist in. And what he is saying is the aspects of a soul are much more, he's not using the word complicated, but rather integrated on different levels. And what your son showed you really is accurate, that there is a part of the soul that does exist and reside in different levels. And it is because when the soul came forth and the soul left source in the center of the cosmos after the soul was created, it came down, most of the souls came down through the different dimensions. And as the soul came down through the different dimensions, there is, and he's using the word footprint in some cases, that there are some levels where souls do not reside as such, but there is a footprint, like a pathway. Then in other levels where there is life and souls are experiencing and cooperating with one another, there are actually particles that are left there when the soul experiences or has experiences on those different levels.
Wow,
so that there is a part of the soul for that reason. He is saying it is coming down and it is going back. There are either footprints or a line of energy that can be followed that belongs to that soul. And he is also adding to that, that as we ascend and go to the higher levels, and see, we talk about this with ascension, that the soul particles will be gathered. so, and what he is showing me, it's almost like on an elevator where you go to different floors where the soul has passed through. As they ascend and go to the higher levels, they will absorb those particles and experiences because the soul is going to be more complete. Now, that is on the upward journey. And what he is saying, as far as your soul going, or your sun's soul going all the way back to source, he said, this is true. This does happen, though not with all souls, that your sun was advanced enough to remember that downward trip and to be able to follow his light tracks back. So it was a case of recognizing and understanding the tracks to be able to go back. He wished to rejoin with Source, to fill out his understanding of his journey and his mission, that when he came to Earth, he realized when he crossed over to the other side that it wasn't in his destiny or plans to cut short his life, and he decided to go back to Source for some further understanding, not only of his mission, but as a healing process also. And so he was sharing information with Source. Source was sharing information with him. So what he told you, my dear, is his journey. It's not the journey of all souls, but it was and is his journey. And Archangel is asking if you have any other questions.
Oh, I don't know where to start.
How about if we do this, Heather? Maybe you've gotten enough information for this day. You go back and think about these things and, you know, come back with a question on another time.
I'll be happy to do that. I wondered if he had a brief personal message for me, because I have, even though I work with the Blu-ray, I'm just...
Are you talking really about your son or about Archangel Mikael?
Mikael, Archangel.
Okay. You see, most of us call him Archangel Michael.
Michael.
And when I was in France, I went to one of his cathedrals where he resides when he is in that Brittany area, and he called himself Mikael. That he says that is his name, and he says, listen to the way those two words sound, Michael and Mikael. And he talks about the power that is in the word Mikael. So I use that word.
Okay.
Not
like
that
it.
There's anything wrong with Michael, because we certainly use that all the time. But you can hear the difference in the power, can't you?
Yes, I can.
Yes. Okay, let's see what he says. You see, one thing that I know is, and I have seen this in my own visions, and he has asked me to tell people about this, that all of the light workers, and of course you're a light worker, Heather, we came with this great archangel when he brought the string of, there was like a red string that he brought when creation was brought forth here. And he showed me the inside of it, and it was like all the sacred geometric shapes all melded into one another in this string.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the light workers held the space when he came and worked with the Elohim and the four corners before what we would call the Big Bang here. But anyway, let's see what he says. I might have been jumping the gun. I don't know if that's what he wanted to talk about, but I thought I'd mention it because he has asked me to tell his light workers that. He says that you know this, that deep within your soul, you really do know this, and to meditate on what he is going to tell you. That in this particular experience that we are in now, all of the souls agreed to go into what he calls this deep sleep of forgetfulness. We do not remember where we came from. We don't remember that state that we existed in before the creation of this solar system, that we were very advanced souls, and we came with this great understanding and awareness of who we were. And we all agreed to go through this deep sleep, as he calls it, and the purpose of it, one of the purposes of it, God wanted to know if we had all of our memory cut, if we did not remember who we were and remember God's love, would we, through the experience, wake up and remember God and love God? So we accepted this experiment with great joy. The thought, it was a game in a sense. We would all go to sleep and somehow become awakened to the magnificence of God and how we love God. And this is what he wants you to meditate on. He promised all of his light workers that when the moment came, that it was time to wake up, that he would come and wake us up. And he is suggesting, Heather, that you meditate on this. You work with a blue ray, but he is saying that he is here to wake you up to the, because this is the end of the cycle, that there is work to be done. You think you can do that?
Absolutely. And he's touched on a very deep agony that I have.
What's the agony, dear?
The agony is accepting love from God. I had a very difficult childhood with incest when I was very young, and I have a very difficult time accepting the Father's love.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of translated into now the spirit, the heart of the universe is very close. You know, I relate to that, but when the term God just scares me.
Well, I didn't have a life experience that you had, but I've had other experiences in other lifetimes that I really do think that I can relate to what you were saying, in the sense that, you know, light workers, for the most part, have been warriors. We have been on the cutting edge, so to speak, of the struggle between the light and the dark. And many times we, in the past, the dark won. You can relate this maybe to your experience, the dark winning over the light, and you suffered because of it. And I suffered because I had been a warrior many times and had been killed by what we would perceive the enemy, and they try and destroy you. So my events were not the same as yours, but the experience and how one feels when they go through these memories to heal, as I said, I can relate with this. And so there needs to be a healing. So I would recommend two things, Heather. Had you ever listened to my shows before?
Oh, yes. Yes, many times.
Okay. Now, when Saturday, when Charlene is with us, have you ever listened to us on Saturday?
Actually, I've had a consult with her in the past.
Okay. Well, did you ask to have that healed, to have those emotions healed and changed?
I haven't asked for that. It's just such a painful subject, it's hard to even...
But you know, I'm really glad that we're talking about this because, as you know, it needs to be healed. It is coming up right now for healing. Yes, it is painful. It was very painful for me when I was murdered in such excruciating manners because I fought for the light. And when we lost to the dark, I was vanquished. And I remember those, and it had to be healed. And this is what's coming up for you now. You see, this is a deep pain for you that is coming up now to be healed. So you could do one of two things. Charlene was here on the show yesterday, and she won't be back for 2 weeks. So you could do one of two things. You could either call on that on our show in 2 weeks, or you could call Charlene direct and work on healing for this.
I think you're right. I think since Mikael brought it up, I think maybe I should deal with it.
I think so.
Also, in my face.
Well, the interesting thing is, Heather, he never does intrude, but he answers and helps when he is asked.
Yeah. Well, I asked, didn't I?
Yes, you did, dear. No, they don't. They don't come in and how shall we say this? Suggest these things unless we are ready and we ask. Another thing, I really think that it would be very beneficial to you to join Archangel Mikael on his conferences. And what I will do for you, Heather, have you ever been on one of those conference calls?
No, I haven't. No.
If you send me your email, and that would be Carolyn at carolyneverett.com, I will send you as a gift from myself to you the phone number and the access code for this Thursday's conference call with Archangel Mikael.
That would be wonderful.
I think you are ready for this. I think this is what your soul wants. In my humble opinion, I believe what your soul is prompting you to do is to heal all the pain that you are carrying, to open yourself up to a new spiritual world. You see, you're already doing such wonderful work in the sense that you are able to see into the other side. You have been able to follow your son. You know that there is life. You know that the soul can go on this magnificent journey back to source. I saw that myself when I, in another lifetime, in my twin flame, after we were murdered, we made our way back up to source. It is a remarkable, incredible experience. And you see, Heather, at one time or another, we have all done this.
Mm-hmm.
And the sad part of it is we don't remember. And it is really important, I believe, that we heal all of these things so that we start opening these doorways to some of this magnificent history that we've been a part of.
Well, it sounds wonderful.
Oh, it is, my dear. Anyway, I'm glad the lightning didn't strike again. And in case you missed some of what I was channeling for you from Archangel Mikael, then when the archive for the show comes up, listen to it, because you might have missed some of it.
I did miss a little bit there, so I will definitely do that. I often listen to the archives. So.
Yes, and then send me your email. And as I said, my gift to you.
Well, thank you so much.
And if you feel that this is something that would be helpful to your soul, consider joining Archangel Mikael on his conference calls. I am telling you, you would gain so much from this.
Well, you know, I'm at a time where I know that I'm clearing many things.
We all are.
they're just coming thick and fast. And this has been a big one that I just had. It's a mountain I haven't been able to climb by myself.
You know, that's why we are all here, to help one another, because some of these mountains from the past are steep slopes, and we need to hold hands to get to the top.
Well, I believe that, too. Wonderful.
Good talking to you, Heather.
Well, thank
Call
you so
back
much.
Again.
Blessings.
You
thank
too.
You.
Bye. Bye. Well, folks, we have 5 minutes, and if there is someone out there that perhaps would like to have, to call in with a fast question, our number here is 877-876-5735. 5227. I'm not going to be able to cover everything that I wanted to cover with regards to the second topic, but I'm going to touch a little bit on it and then continue it next Sunday, because I really do think this is very important. I get a lot of requests for people they have questions that they want me to go to their Akashic records and get the answers for. And a lot of the questions have to do with mission, which really is so fascinating when people find out what they put their hands up and volunteered for when they came into this lifetime. But there's also a lot of questions that I get that have to do with what I would call prosperity. People ask questions about, oh, I'm unhappy in my marriage. How long is it going to last? Am I going to be able to find someone else to love? Am I going to be able to sell my house? Will I be able to buy another one? These are the sort of day-to-day things that we come up with and we want to have answers for. And the Akashic records really are not psychic readings in the sense that they give backgrounds and they give methods of empowering yourself and how you can do this yourself. And in one of the readings, there was some interesting thoughts about this, how to manifest, whether you're looking for prosperity, whether you're looking for someone to share your love. One of the things that was in this particular reading was, the further away from God that one journeys, the deeper in illusion one becomes, and after a while, the soul feels abandoned and hopeless. Now, this is not everyone in the sense that at one time or another, we've all felt this way. Some of us have turned things around and we're making our way back, and some haven't. But that is a condition because of the journey that we have made. We have come down far from God, oh my goodness, so far, and we're deeper in illusion. And so there are times when we feel abandoned and we feel that things are hopeless. And the reading goes into how we were created, that we have particles of God that, and this is a beautiful story. I'm not going to be able to get into this because we have like 2 minutes. But that, and maybe what I need to do is just save this whole story for next Sunday, because it is indeed a beautiful story of how God creates. And it is these particles that God is able to create and manifest, that we are part of God's energy and we are able to create and manifest. And so we're going to talk about that next week, how we take God's particles, the cherubim consider this, clothing the power of vibration with thought. Humanity calls it manifesting. Friends, next Thursday, join us. Go to www.carolynevers.com. Consider joining us for our Thursday conference call with Archangel Michael, and also consider purchasing Conversations with Caesar. It's advertised right now on the index page. You will get some free conference calls opportunities with that. And so until next Sunday, again next week, this is Carolyn Evers, happy to have been able to touch you for this short period of time. Talk to you then. Goodbye, my friends.
Where would $5,000 per week take you? Discover the exact details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone, and we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.